Good morning, John. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning. Congratulations on the weather. I get daily updates from my daughter up in Evanston. She couldn't believe it yesterday. Beautiful.
85 degrees yesterday.
Unbelievable. Unseasonably warm, as they say. The Cubs were off. That would have been a great day to be at Wrigley with the wind blowing out. But the Cubs had the day off, John, after losing 2 out of 3 to the Phillies. And here come the Reds. We feel good about Chicago. It feels like we're celebrating a lot, the Cubs starting 17-12 against the teeth of the schedule, and we know all the narratives. But the Reds have won 5 in a row, 16-13, a game back in the Central. Terry Francona is doing it again.
He's amazing, Hall of Fame manager. I mean, he laid down the law. You know, he had brought accountability to the Reds. I thought they were handicapped for years with the managing situation that they did have, and he is terrific. You know, he's got guys, Noelvi, Marte, guys performing who are kind of got him on the straight now, getting going. So the Reds certainly are a threat. I will say this about the Cubs. They are even better than that 17-12 record I saw on Twitter. So I got to give Brooks Gate credit for this. They have not played a team with a losing record yet. Not only that, three of their opponents, the Diamondbacks, Dodgers, and Padres, account for 20 of their games so far. So, wow. Like two-thirds of their games are against three powerhouses, and they're 17-12. So, I mean, the Cubs are doing it. I know 17-12 sounds good, but it's better than we think.
The record is the record, John, and I wonder, you know, we were talking a little bit earlier on in our show about the urgency right now to sort of figure out maybe some of their weaknesses, third base, bullpen, etc. The urgency maybe feels more urgent because of what the Reds are doing. What's your assessment of sort of how quickly the Cubs need to kind of stay on top?
Yeah, I mean, I have great faith in the Cubs and what they've done considering the competition. Looking at the teams on paper, I feel like the Cubs are the better team. They're more the more solid team. Crow Armstrong really coming into his own. You know, I think that they're obviously Tucker's been fantastic, and hopefully they get something done and keep him long term. The entire outfield's been really productive. Bush has been really good. They're getting amazing stuff from Kelly. Starting pitching is good. Obviously, losing Steele doesn't help, but I feel like on paper the Cubs are a better team, and I think they have a great manager too. I think Council is terrific. I mean, that's one of the best managing divisions. I think Murphy with Milwaukee, Council with the Cubs, and Francona with the Reds are three of the top 10 managers in baseball.
Who's got a third baseman for auction? Because the Cubs need to start the bidding. That is a big problem, John. That's the one area where you look at that lineup and you don't feel good about it. You could make the argument the bullpen is a bigger concern. Certainly closer to the trade deadline will revive the conversation about how you replace Justin Steele. That hasn't been an issue yet with Colin Ray being lights out, but what is the appropriate level of concern about the third base spot, and how would you address it?
Oh, that's, I mean, I would make that argument that the bullpen is the biggest concern that they do have. I mean, I would put third base next, certainly. You know, I'm not giving up on Shaw. I feel like, you know, he's going to be able to hit at this level, even though he hasn't done it to this point, even in the minors. So, I mean, I think maybe in the second half, maybe he'll be ready to help them. But, you know, I put that as their second biggest concern. I did hear a scout say that it's their black hole. The scout loves the Cubs. He thought the Cubs are outstanding. He did call third base the black hole. I'm more concerned about the bullpen, though. I do think the bullpen is huge, particularly nowadays when there are really only a handful of pitchers who throw six innings consistently, sometimes 7 or 8. The bullpen is huge, and that's really my worry with the Cubs more than third base.
What's sort of the time frame, John, that the Cubs can address those issues?
Yeah, I mean, the bullpen could be addressed potentially earlier than rotation. If you have a rotation issue, you probably have to wait because teams, no matter how bad they are, they don't want to show that they're out of it right away and trade somebody from their rotation. Right? If you trade someone from your rotation, you're basically sending up the white flag, sending a signal to everybody, including fans, that you're out of it. And probably nobody wants to do that. At least we get into the middle of June. So bullpen guys can be picked up, can be traded. Obviously, Pomerantz was a guy who was picked up. The guys can be picked up a little bit earlier with the bullpen, but you know, some of those really bad teams, they don't have good starters or good bullpen. So it could be a little weight. That's why my concern is with the bullpen. And you're not going to find high leverage guys that shut down closers or anything like that anytime soon.
How are the Mets 20-9 with a pitching staff that has been lights out and guys who you don't expect to be pitching as well as they have been pitching?
The Mets. You're talking about the
Mets. Yes,
yeah,
the Mets.
I mean, no one would have thought the Mets would be 20-9 and that their pitching would be like this. The starting rotation to be a 2-3 ERA, incredible. I'm not sure how they're doing it. David Stearns came in there and he really has a strategy of not, even though they have a lot of money. Steve Cohen is the richest owner in baseball. They could spend a lot. They do not target this top starters. They didn't even look at Fried. They didn't look at Burns. Fried's doing unbelievable, by the way, Cy Young candidate. But they didn't look at those guys. They feel like they can improve certain guys who are pitching elsewhere and not doing particularly well. I mean, Canning was a guy basically released by the Angels, and he is amazing. I mean, he's been incredible. McGill's been really good. It's really a shock how good the Mets have been.
Can we switch gears to the South side, David? Are you ready for that?
Sure.
Okay. I wanted to ask about Gage Workman getting picked up by the Sox, obviously from the Cubs. And also we were talking about Tim Elko, John, who has hit 5 home runs since Thursday in the minors. Isn't it about time that the Sox just bring up and get the help wherever they can?
Well, I think the Sox are all about development. So however they think these guys are going to develop best, that's how they have to do it. They can't really worry about wins and losses now. They already got the record for most losses. They can't worry. It's really got to be about the future more than now. Yeah, I'm surprised that the Cubs and the White Sox are able to make trades. The New York teams don't often trade with each other, but apparently they have a nice relationship in Chicago. People are a little nicer in the Midwest, and they're willing to help out the brethren over on the other side of town. We do not see that in New York. So good for the Cubs and the White Sox that they are able to make even big trades. I mean, Quintana was a big trade at that time, and I know this is a smaller trade, but the Mets and Yankees can't get it together. So good for the Chicago team.
Chris Getz and Jed Hoyer are practically neighbors, I think, on the North Shore. So I think maybe they struck a deal walking their dogs or something. It seems like they have a very friendly relationship, professionally and otherwise. So and Gage Workman wasn't working out for the Cubs. He had 2 errors, John, in a big loss. So I think that kind of sealed his fate.
Yeah, I mean, he came in, I think it was Rule 5.
Yeah.
He came in and won the job, or a job. And, right, I mean, you wouldn't think one bad team would seal their fate, but, obviously the White Sox see something. I think the White Sox, as I've been saying on here, I think they're on the right track. It's maybe not the right speed, the speed that Mully would like, but they are on the right track. They are picking up guys who will be able to help them eventually. I love that trade with Crochet. They did the right thing holding on to him, trading him later. They got a lot more there. Trade with the Angels with Giolito. I mean, they've got a catcher that looks like he could be a catcher of the future. I mean, they have 2 catchers in the of the future that most teams don't have that. And Theis has actually been okay too, as well. So they're pretty good on the catching front. I think they've got potential on the pitching front. They just need to get some more hitters. That's their issue. Easier said than done. It's not easy to develop hitters for the major leagues, but that's what they got to do, really.
Here's what's interesting too, John. You talk about the Sox being in developmental mode, and everybody understands that. Over the weekend in Sacramento, Will Venable started 3 straight relief pitchers, 3 straight openers. They're hosting the Brewers tonight for the beginning of a series there. The Brewers, with Craig Counsell, they were one of the teams, along with the Rays, that kind of started that trend. And I'm very curious to see what happens next with the Sox, because it worked with Jonathan Cannon, who was a starter that wasn't very consistent early on. He came on in the second inning, pitched 7 2/3, and was very effective. It worked for the most part with the other 2 attempts. Is this something that is going to be revived, do you think, around the league? Starters don't go as deep as they used to, and using openers might be a way for a manager to buy an inning or two from a relief pitcher because he likes the matchup.
Yeah, I mean, that was a trend, you're right, started early by Tampa and Milwaukee, and it's an effective trend. The bullpen is huge. I mean, teams are – struggling keeping pitchers healthy. So, you know, you're going to have to rotate guys. I mean, this, the Dodgers are at the forefront of this, you know. They've got all sorts of stars hurting, and they're going, I think, to get again today with a bullpen game. They had four bullpen games in the playoffs and ended up winning the World Series and winning five games. So this is a trend that has continued. And, you know, I'd rather see great starters. You know, going back to my childhood, it was great when Seaver and Gibson would match up. I know it's a long time ago, but even more recently than that, we'd have pitchers go distances. But this is a strategy that teams are employing, and effectively.
When you look at the Brewers, who are in town tonight, and you see Jose Quintana, 4-0. He didn't sign until March 5th. He had a $4.5 million contract. Is there any kind of, are there any other Jose Quintanas out there that are unsigned, John? How surprised are you that this is a guy that just seems to be, he's been around for a very long time now. He started with the White Sox. Actually, I think he started with the Mets. Or started with the Yankees organization. Then he ends up with the White Sox and pitched for the Cubs, still going at it at a very high level. We lost John.
Oh, we lost John.
Lost John. Just when I was getting a chance to celebrate Jose Quintana. The former Met pitcher, too. The Mets don't miss him, John. But Jose Quintana, 4-0 for the Brewers. How surprised are you?
To many columns in spring training that they need to go get Quintana, the Mets do. He wanted to be a Met. He was out there for everybody. You know, he's 4-0 with a 1-1 ERA. Now, his whip and his hits per inning and things like that don't add up to that ERA. He's still a very effective pitcher. I mean, uses brains more than anything. You know, it's kind of funny, all these guys who are very smart baseball people, they look at velo and they don't look at brains for a pitcher. And this guy works around his stuff and is very effective.
We'll let you go, but on the way out, so you mentioned the Dodgers. Tyler Glasnow now on the injured list. Blake Snell also there. Otani's not ready to get in the rotation just yet. The Dodgers, nobody's really talking about them being having an unfair advantage with their payroll anymore. They're just looking at them in a tough division and their ability to possibly win it. Have they come back down to earth in your mind, or is this just a temporary blip?
I think it's a temporary blip, but, I mean, it's quite a blip, right? You've got guys on the IL right now, Glasnow, Snell, Kershaw, not available till May 18th. Otani will be a second half pitcher. I mean, that's we're talking four stars to superstars. I mean, I think three of them are basically superstars. Five Cy Youngs, three MVPs that they're missing. You know, even with a $399 million payroll, you can have issues, and they certainly do. Now, they have a great bullpen as well. They have great lineup too, so they have so many things going for them. It's going to cover up, and they're still going to probably win two-thirds of their games. And let's not forget, they won the World Series last year, as I mentioned. During those bullpen games, they had Flaherty, who allegedly had a back condition. I don't think it really revealed itself. Yamamoto had been coming off his shoulder. Mueller, second, Tommy John, and they were able to win the World Series. You got Freeman, Betts, and Otani hitting. You know, you're in pretty good shape. You're going to win a lot of games no matter what your pitching looks like. But, you know, they're stocked up with bullpen guys. They're stocked up with starters. But, you know, not many teams could survive this kind of injury epidemic. But I think the Dodgers are one that can do that.
John, thanks so much for your time. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, John.
All right. Great talking to you guys.